We'll call the Military and Veterans Affairs Committee to order at 3:05. We have a full house today. Representative Hughes, Representative Lynn, Representative Caldwell, Representative Ledoux, Representative Sponholz, and the Minority Leader, Representative Tucker, myself, Bob Herron. Please turn off, silence your phone, if you could, please. The only item of business today is HGR 30, post-traumatic stress injury. And we do have a committee substitute in front of us, right? Mr.
Yes, sir.
Okay. If my vice chair could...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move CS for HJR 30 version E for ECHO for purposes of discussion.
Okay. Okay, we do have, is there objection of adopting this? And
I'll object for discussion, yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Rob, if you could put yourself on the record and go over the changes and if there's any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff to Chair Herron. You should all have an explanation of changes document inside your packet. The new CS version E for ECHO incorporates salient points in HCR 25 that we heard last week. It includes three whereases from that resolution and two resolves. The first resolve added was not from HCR 25, and this resolved... ask the legislature to respectfully request the Alaska delegation to Congress to champion this change of designation in Congress. The second resolve that was added establishes June 27th, 2016 as PTSI Awareness Day. And the third resolve added encourages DMVA and DHSS to continue educating PTSI victims and their families on the causes, symptoms, and possible treatment of PTSI. And those are the changes, Mr. Chairman.
Rob, we're looking at a conceptual amendment.
Yes, sir. On page 2, the first whereas on page 2, in the middle of the whereas, you'll see the language, given that men and women in the armed forces are highly exposed, often daily, to traumatic events. We simply wanted to insert the word many before men and women, so it would read, given that many men and women in the armed forces, etc. And this would just be more accurate, because not every person in the forces is exposed to these experiences so commonly.
So... page 2, line 3, after that, before men, we would insert the word many. Is a conceptual amendment. Is there any objection to that? Seeing none, the conceptual has been adopted. Is there any other suggestions that people may have? Yes, Representative Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just checking, and I noticed in the copies being sent, it's going to the American Psychiatric Association. We do have an Alaska Psychiatric Association, and I don't know if you'd entertain a friendly amendment for it to be their president to be added, or just to the Psychiatric Association in general,
the Alaska Psychiatric Association.
Mm-hmm.
That would be in the form the representative is moving a conceptual amendment to add in the appropriate place at the end of the resolution to send it off to the Alaska Psychiatric Association. Any objection to that? Seeing, yes, under discussion.
No objection.
I just wanted to say the reason why we do have the American Psychiatric Association is because they're the only ones that can change the designation. And so, but I'm totally fine with alerting Alaska's Psychiatric Association.
Absolutely. I think that's the maker's intent.
Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? Yes, please.
You have names associated with this. I can also put on the record the name of the current president if you want that. It is Joshua Sunkiss, S-O-N-K-I-S-S, M-D.
Okay. Chair has no problem with that. Has the committee agreed we add that individual's name? Will that be part of the conceptual amendment? So we have we do have a couple people signed up. We can go to public testimony and return to the committee for discussion and conversation about movement of this resolution. So at this time, we'll open up public testimony, and we have three individuals online. Bob Dole, the Deputy Commissioner of Department, is available for questions. And we will travel to Michigan. And Kent Hall, are you available, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, we'll speak up just a bit louder. Could you put yourself on the record by placing your name and your affiliation for the committee?
Yes, my name is Kent, K-E-N-T, Hall, H-A-L-L. I'm Vice President of Honor for All. I spoke before you last week, and again, it's my honor and privilege, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity to speak again. I gave sort of a lengthy testimony. I don't know that it'd be necessary to do that again, but I'd be available for questions, as well as I believe the President of Honor for All, Tom Mahaney, should be online also.
Yes, he is, and he'll be up second, so... you don't have to repeat your testimony from last time. We have that recorded, but if you have any updates or additional thoughts that you'd like to share with the committee?
Just a couple of things. The committee, after I spoke, Mr. Chair, said something to the effect of the VFW, one member saying something pretty negative. And we find that happens here and there, but it's rather rare. And it just shows the need for further education, just as General Patton was mentioned when he had slapped one of the soldiers that was struggling with problems. And same thing there. It's just a matter of we need more education and awareness, and that's one of the things Honor for All is working hard at.
Any questions for Mr. Hall? Seeing none, thank you, sir, for your testimony. Now we'll go to Mr. Tom Mahaney in Michigan.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please state your name and your affiliation and begin your testimony.
My name is Thomas Mahaney. I am the founder and executive director of Honor for All, located in Loyal Oak, Michigan.
Go ahead, sir. Place yourself. Begin your testimony.
Well, first of all, let me thank you, Chairman Herron, for this opportunity to speak in front of the House Military and Veterans Affairs Committee of the great state of Alaska. I just want to say the results of your hearing can have far-reaching effects on the lives and families of past and present members of our armed services. And in the end, the fight against stigma is a war against words, and the more voices we can muster, the larger our arsenal. And the establishment of PTSI Awareness Day is the first step in creating a springboard from which to launch community events in recognition and understanding of invisible wounds. And if there's anything else I can add, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Is there any questions for Mr. Mahaney? Okay, sure. I appreciate you being up at 7:15 on a Tuesday night to testify in front of us. It's only 3:15 back here, so
feels like 10:15.
Yeah. Yes, I have a brother who lives in Anchorage.
Okay. Well,
hard for me to talk to him in the morning, but this is a good time of the day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Is there anyone else in the audience?
Thank you for getting involved in this. It's a very important issue, the stigma of invisible wounds.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Is there anyone else online? And anyone in the audience wish to testify on a public testimony? Seeing none, we're closed. Back to the committee work.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I was a little, I'm not sure I understood. The first person who testified indicated there was a negative testimony on this, apparently. And they said the person needed to be educated about it. And, you know, because you have a different opinion on any issue doesn't necessarily mean you need to be educated. Because it doesn't mean you're uneducated if you disagree. It's just a point in passing.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. So, Representative Sponholz, in the committee discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since we're in the Representative Grunberg room and I am following in his footsteps. I thought it was only right that I would make a couple of modest revisions or recommend a couple of modest revisions. So on page three, the third whereas on line seven, it says, more honorable to increase the number of those affected voluntarily to seek. I'd like to recommend that we reword that language and have it say the number of those who voluntarily seek help and assistance.
Okay, so that's line seven?
Yeah, that'd be line seven. And more honorable to increase the number of those affected who voluntarily seek. So we would add in who between affected and voluntarily and then strike two. I think it makes the meaning more clear.
Okay.
And then under the fifth whereas on lines 12 and 13, after the comma, and those who have received those wounds while serving, I'd like to recommend that we replace to defend the right to freedom with while serving our country deserve respect and special honor. I think it makes it a little bit more clear.
So you're suggesting that we delete defend the right?
To defend the right to freedom.
Mm-hmm. And add?
Replace it with our country. While serving, replace our country, and then pick up at deserve respect and special honor.
Discussion on this conceptual amendment?
Just if you could read them back for the record.
Yeah.
As they would be amended.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I was just on deleting defend the right to freedom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you, Max. Thank you. So, as I understand, the conceptual amendment is on line 7, page 3. After affected, we would insert the word who, and then after voluntarily, we would strike to. And then on page 3, line 12 is we would, after while serving, we would delete to defend the right to freedom.
And insert our
country. Yes. On the amendment?
Yeah, if I may make just another suggestion. Rather than our country, our nation, because we're citizens of a nation, and it does start off with citizens, and that does coincide with what HCR 25 had.
Strike country and insert nation.
Our nation.
After our.
Yeah.
Other committee discussion? Representative Hughes.
I actually like the right to freedom in there because I think that sometimes we take that for granted, and I know we're just talking language. I'm wondering if the proposer of the amendment might be willing to combine the idea of the nation with the right to freedom, and I'm thinking about how to do that while serving our nation.
Defending the right to freedom.
And defending the right to freedom. Just get it both in there. I think that's a...
That's powerful.
It's more powerful, and the right to freedom is really what it's all about, and I think that's...
Okay. Let's go ahead, Representative Hughes, go ahead and after while serving, and then why don't you put in the,
okay,
the new.
Okay, so I'm proposing, Mr. Chair, an amendment to the amendment before us, taking the other amendment to the amendment into consideration. So line 12 on page 3 would read, and those who have served those wounds, receive those wounds while serving our nation to defend the right to freedom. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Let's see.
Our nation defending.
I would say defending is probably better.
Defending.
While serving our nation, comma, defending the right to freedom, comma, deserve respect and special honor.
To the Judiciary Chairwoman.
I was just going to suggest if that hasn't been made into a formal amendment yet. How about... While serving our nation and defending the right to freedom, deserve respect and special honor.
Okay, that sounds good.
And, excuse me, so basically I had commas around defending our nation, and you're taking out the commas and putting an and. And I'm fine with that, although I would say that, Mr. Chair, the serving our nation, the defending our freedom is a definition of serving our nation, and that's why I did the commas. But
okay, let's take
either
it.
Way.
Let's take it in ease. Let's write. Line 12, after while serving our nation and defending our freedom, deserve respect and special honor. Okay, are we done with the conceptual amendment in Max's honor? Okay, any objection? Seeing no objection, we have adopted the conceptual amendment, and now the resolution is back before us. And I just make a little factoid. Of course, we didn't put all the information on how society, how history has dealt with post-traumatic stress injuries that have happened to people in many events. Margaret and I were watching the fifth season, next to the last episode of the fifth season of Downton Abbey, and there was a episode on post-traumatic stress injury. That's pretty interesting and relevant. Okay, what is the... Yes, under...
I have another comment just in general and discussion about the bill as follow-up to one of the... which I believe is an educated concern about the bill regarding the American Psychiatric Association. I noticed the documents, the articles in the packet, both referring to psychiatrists, very prominent psychiatrists, who have differing views. One thinks it's a good idea. One has a slightly different way where you could have a category of injuries under which the disorder would fit, but still the injury word wasn't necessarily incorrect. And it is also, that article is not representing the American Psychiatric Association, is just, and that makes that clear at the beginning of the article. So I just wanted to point that out, that there are some psychiatrists, some very prominent ones who have actually studied a lot in this area who do think it's a good idea, and that was information that I don't think really gelled for me at the last meeting. And the other thing, too, that is that the idea was generated by a general who served in Iraq, and then the psychiatrist agreed with him and has been working on this, which I thought was significant. And so I just want to put that on the record, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Lynn.
Yes, there's definitely such a thing as post-stress syndrome or injury. No doubt about that. There's also some folks who've been in the military who use being in combat or being overseas as an excuse for every misbehavior that they have and try to lay it. I did all this stuff because I was serving in the military and got scared a couple times, just like kids in the classroom say, well, I can do anything I want in the classroom because I had a bad family life. And so, you know, it's a fine line between the two. And I could go on, but you got my drift.
Yes, Representative Ledoux.
You know, actually, I want to note two things about this one article, which says that PTSD is PTSD. And the first one is that while the gentleman, Dr. Friedman, says that we could leave it at PTSD, he actually suggests that we use the Canadian term, which is operational stress injury. So even the article, which is somewhat critical of changing it from PTSD, seems to suggest that it is an injury which should be called something totally different. But more importantly, what I gleaned from this article, which is something that I don't think that we've discussed, but maybe we should be discussing, is that those with OSI in Canada are eligible for Canada's Sacrifice Medal, the equivalent to America's Purple Heart, whereas Americans with war-related PTSD are not eligible for this honorable recognition. And I guess I find that of somewhat of concern.
Yes, go ahead, Minority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to piggyback on that a little bit, the post-traumatic stress disorder was created in 1980. And before that, we had no term for that. And because that term did get established, some great things did happen. It gave the name to something that was confusing, frightening, or disabling, misunderstood. It allowed research into causes and the remedies. It enabled insurance coverage and disability payments. And it fostered self-help for those with the condition and collaboration among those who study and treat the conditions. And it also helped with all of us that care about trauma and its consequences. But unfortunately, having that term disorder, it does discourage a lot of people from seeking help and getting the services that they should deserve. And when an injury is earned in battle, you can receive a Purple Heart, and as was mentioned, unfortunately, though, it's because it's not looked at as an injury, people cannot receive a Purple Heart from a post-traumatic stress injury. And but there's other American Psychiatric Association's terms for other types of what they define as disorder, and that's anorexia, bulimia, those kind of things that don't have disorder to it, that actually, because they don't have disorder in it, is not a stigma. And so people are getting the services and everything that they need. Looking at the former Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, Torelli, General Torelli's, he was strongly advocating to get rid of the word disorder, because he says that the disorder perpetuates a bias and has the connotation of being something that is a pre-existing problem that an individual has before they even came into the Army. And that makes a person seem weak. You also have, what's nice about this also is it's not just dealing with the military. It's dealing with any type of trauma that people may receive. And we're now learning about adverse childhood experiences. And it's not to say that a child was born a certain way. It's just that some children have received trauma or seen trauma that negatively impacts the rest of their life. And so, but when we look at the military perspective, I think it's important because we're all affected by those who receive some sort of post-traumatic stress injury. But when it comes to the military service who gets exposed so much, and They pass physical exams. They pass mental exams. They pass all sorts of exams to get in the military in the first place and being able to serve in whatever function that they decide to serve in. Means that they have a good bill of health going into it. So it is an event that happens in a person's life. It is an injury. It is something that I think is very important to change, so I really appreciate this resolution.
Representative Ledoux.
So I don't know whether the minority leader's conversation right now was in response to what I had just said, but I was just saying that even the person who doesn't believe that it should be called post-traumatic stress injury, he thinks it ought to be called operational stress injury. I mean, it doesn't seem like he's in disagreement with calling it an injury. My concern is that is calling it an injury, and maybe Ron Clark, I see, is here in the audience. Maybe he can tell us this. If when changed it to post-traumatic stress injury, would people be eligible for the Purple Heart? And if so, or if not, what would need to be done in order to make those people who, and I see Representative Lynn shaking his head now.
Instead of putting Ron on the hot seat, the deputy commissioner, who is a little higher ranking, can Bob, can you try to weigh in on this conversation a little bit to Representative Ledoux's concern, question? Is he still there?
While we're waiting.
Take a regular break. Yes, Mr. Chairman, Deputy Commissioner Bob Dole, Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. When we look at the regulations of the different service branches, we would take regulatory changes or a statutory change, even if we change the definition from PTSD to PTSI, but there would still need to be a change in the regulations for awarding the Purple Heart.
Yeah, on that point, since you brought it up, is you can have a post-traumatic stress injury and you can get a Purple Heart. The example that is used is that, for example, you're an artilleryman and you're firing off rounds all day long, and so there is concussion, there is just being in a tough situation, you can get injured. But unless there's that's friendly fire, unless there's enemy fire, say a shell was to come over and land near you and you got a concussion and it was a traumatic brain injury, you will qualify for the Purple Heart. So that's the issue about our society, and not just in this society, not the U.S. society, but society over since the start of time, is that it's one of those injuries that is invisible, and you made comment about having weak character or being a coward. That's the tough part of this, and this is why we're not going to go out trying to hit home runs with this resolution. We just need to keep raising the awareness. And what's interesting about the way it has been only 100 years ago is during World War One, Britain executed 300 soldiers for cowardice. But about I think in 1998 or 1999, the British government changed them from being executed as cowards to heroes. And then the country apologized to all the families. Granted, it was 100 years later, but that's the struggle with, in my opinion, of this. And so let me return. I got off on that little tangent there. Let me return to Representative Ledoux, because, Bob, I don't think you quite answered the question she was asking. So could
Actually, I think he did. I mean, it sounds like that unless you have an injury that one can see, that you're not eligible for the Purple Heart. And even if we changed PTSD to PTSI, that wouldn't make you eligible. Am I correct about that?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, Bob Dole again, that is my understanding. The regulation as written still would not allow for awarding of the Purple Heart for a PTSI injury. The regulation would have to be revised independent of what we're doing here today. I think this would move the ball down the field, though, in terms of building the awareness to have that discussion in light of what we currently know about the condition and the brain changes, but it would still require a regulatory change.
Yes, Representative Ledoux.
And what I wanted to just point out here is that is in contrast to Canada's sacrifice medal, in which those with OSI, or operational stress injury, are eligible for the sacrifice medal, which is apparently the equivalent to America's Purple Heart. Hmm. So it's just something to think about.
Go ahead, Representative Lynn.
Come back on this. Well, I know. First of all, I think the requirements for Purple Heart, that's established, that's a federal thing, not our state thing. It's not federal?
No, you're correct.
It's a federal thing, so it doesn't matter what we do here, I wouldn't think. It's not going to change it for Purple Heart. But quite frankly, I'm very uncomfortable with this leading us down the path toward awarding Purple Heart for PTSI or whatever we're calling it today.
Well, Representative Lynn, I did look into the criteria for a Purple Heart. If you do have a post-traumatic stress, your diagnosis having a post-traumatic stress disorder, what they call it now, and it was because of combat, you can get a Purple Heart if it's by enemy fire. It's friendly fire, you cannot get it. And so, it's society and history dealing with this, this label, this invisible injury. And after our Veterans Caucus this morning, I had a meeting with Senator Huggins, and we got to talking about it, is that Vietnam was a time when men and women served over there, and it was like any other war. They were constantly bombarded with noise, riding in helicopters for hours on end, and even in that conditions, you can get a traumatic injury, not only from just the experience, but also the constant concussions that you get by noise, and it's a really tough invisible injury for society, and more importantly to individuals. And this last summer, I had the honor, because I'm the chair of this committee, to be at the ribbon cutting for the Chris Kyle Patriots Hospital in Anchorage.
And I was there too.
And of course you were there. And since then, we had the gentleman testify in front of us, the executive director. Being diagnosed and then being treated for post-traumatic stress injuries has really made a big difference for veterans in our state, because it is treatable. But if there's this stigma because of a little five-letter label on the end of it, that's part of what we should do things.
Mr. Chair, I'm not opposed necessarily to change it to injury. That's not what I'm talking about. But if you're going down the road to making this type of thing, making one eligible for the Purple Heart, that's a whole other discussion where I'm not prepared to go.
And that's why it's not in the resolution.
Right.
Because
well, why are we talking about it then?
Well, because it got into the conversation, but that's the issue. Society is not ready for that, in my opinion. Yes, Representative.
Yeah, I'm actually confused, and then we probably should drop this thing, which isn't in the resolution. But I'm hearing you say that if it's from enemy fire, that you can get the Purple Heart. But if it's from friendly fire, you can't get the Purple Heart. And that doesn't seem to quite gel with what I'm hearing. Is it Colonel Dole?
Yes.
Colonel Dole, say. And I was wondering if Colonel Dole might want to comment on that, just to clarify my utter confusion at this point.
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I think I've been set off between two different representatives here, so I hope I come out okay myself. My understanding is for traumatic brain injury, which you would get from the repeated concussions or the repeated exposures to IED blast or other, like in the artillery firing, there you have a physiologic change that I'm aware of the Purple Heart being awarded for from that incoming fire. However, the Purple Heart has not been awarded for outgoing fire from that artillery forward operating base. I'm not aware of the Purple Heart being awarded for absent some sort of enemy input into the situation, and I'm not aware of it being awarded solely for PTSD, even from incoming artillery. I may have, or other enemy effects. I may have missed something there, but I'm not aware of it.
So just for the record, and we can move on, I'd like to move the resolution, is that I will provide for all committee members the official criteria for receiving the Purple Heart, and it's very well detailed. Any other discussion on the resolution, absent what we were just talking about? Seeing none, Chair will entertain a motion to move. Madam Vice Chair?
I move, well, excuse me, doesn't somebody have to remove the objection?
I just did.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I will move HJR 30, version E for ECHO from committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes.
Any objection? Seeing none. Committee is out at 3:45. Thank you. And we don't want to get into this debate on the floor.